All right, if you guys have your Bibles, open them up, please. We will be in 2 Corinthians. Turn to chapter 5. Back on track now, going through the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to start at chapter 5, verse 17. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask, can you please open up your holy word to us? Help us to understand your word. Thank you that you gave us your word, the living, active word. There's no other book like the Bible. Billions of things, billions of texts, if not trillions, will go around the world today. Texts, articles, emails, those will all die and fade away. But only this book, only your holy word will stand forever. So please open up our hearts to understand your word and your ways. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. I believe that identity is extremely important, and we will find our identity in Christ when we get saved. Amen? That's what each of us has learned. Identity can give you things like purpose, a hope, vision for the future. Identity can also help you to know things that you have to do. Your identity can also help you to know things you're responsible for. When you get a job, you know you're responsible to get yourself out of bed, dress yourself, brush your teeth, hopefully. Hopefully. Amen. Shower, hopefully. Get on the bus or subway or drive. You got to get to someplace. You will know a lot by knowing your identity. Identity can tell you how to spend your time, how to spend your money. It can give you a vision for the future. And your identity can help you to know how God is shaping your character to be more like Christ. But I do want to say to you guys, opening up here, when I was growing up, no other way to put it, but I believe my identity was just, it was messed up. Okay, I grew up in a broken family. Grew up in a lot of pain. Maybe some of you can identify with this. And my identity were in things of the world. I grew up without my dad around, so I grew up thinking my dad didn't love me. Just, I'm sure he did. Just grew up feeling like that. I grew up thinking, although I had his last name, that he really didn't want any part of me. He was a DNA dad, but not much of a daddy, if you know what I mean. And then one day, when I got saved, took a while, but the Lord showed me that he wanted to be my father, that I could have a heavenly father, not just an earthly dad. And my heavenly father showed me that he loved me. He showed me that he had a plan for me. He wanted to give me a purpose. He wanted to adopt me into his family, and I was ready for that. If you guys remember that time? You got saved, light bulb turned on, and you realize, wow, I thank you. Thank you for adopting me. Thank you for bringing me into a new family. Although my family life was messed up and broken and hurt, he brought me into his family. There are times when I was growing up where I got bullied, and I hated that. That might have been someone here. I hated that time. I didn't want to be me. But he gave me a new identity that's in Christ. And today we're going to learn that yes, we are a new creation in Christ. Look at this in verse 17. But God wants to show you how he can give you a new identity. He's done this with me and all of his children, all the born-again Christians. And if that's you, you need to see some of these identities, because you might ask, okay, I'm a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Like the butterfly. We got a wonderful illustration. I love this butterfly. Blue. I don't know what you call this, like the iridescence. It just, that word just sounds so nice, right? So like the caterpillar, that's your old life, turned into now a new creation, a new creature. But it's in Christ, not just a physical butterfly. I'll leave this up for you to see. Beautiful thing. You are a new creation in Christ. By the way, that's why we put for this book, this verse is sort of our signature verse for this series as we go through the entire book of 2 Corinthians. So I want to encourage you to keep coming in on Sundays now that we're back on track in this book. But look at this again in verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, notice it's in Christ, you got to be saved. He is a, what does it say here? New creation. The God wants to make you into something new. No longer like the old ways. No longer like, if you use this analogy, that illustration of the butterfly, not like the caterpillar. Now like the beautiful butterfly. He wants to give you a new life. The caterpillar turning to the butterfly, we use this term, this word, metamorphosis. That describes a transformation that that creature had gone through. And now it's a totally distinctly different creature. The butterfly is not in the Bible, but it serves as one of God's creation that we could look to and say, that's like me. The butterfly is diurnal. It now flies around the daylight. Goes from flower to flower. Beautiful picture of you and I walking in the light of Jesus Christ. So as we are maybe asking, how am I a new creation? As Paul is teaching us here into this chapter and into the next one, we're going to learn as we pick out five identities that are right there in the passage. I want you and I to see this. First off, in our passage today, we see some of this new identity. Again, it says in verse 17, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if you're wondering, God, just like the butterfly, I'm a new creation, but what does that look like? What does that mean? If you've ever asked that, then glad that God brought you in today. Look at this here. What are some of these new things? First, identity that you need to see yourself as a new creation, you're a reconciler. I identified this here for you. I color-coded it here. Look at verse 18, that God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. Anybody here work with finances, do bookkeeping? Nobody, none of you guys do. You have a checking account. Don't worry, we're not going to ask for that. You know, in our church, we're not like money-hungry churches. But you guys ever reconcile your finances? It's a financial term. This word for reconcile, like when you reconcile your checking account, you compare your records against the bank statements, and you make sure that everything's in alignment, everything's in agreement. And something sticks out, you're like, wait a second, who charged this? If you're married, you're like, did you do this, honey? So you got to reconcile your checking account. This is the term. So look at this in verse 18. God tells us what he did. He's, quote, reconciled us to himself, and it's through who? Through Jesus Christ. He's reconciled us to him. So for those of us that are saved, just like Paul, God has given you a ministry of reconciliation. So one of your identities is a new creation in Christ, you're a reconciler. Well, I didn't sign up for that. You said yes to Jesus, and now you're part of this. When you reconcile your checking account, you're making sure everything's in alignment, everything's in agreement. Now, when you're working with God, your task as a reconciler, just look at this passage. Look how it breaks it down. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ. So as a reconciler, you're going to tell them, hey, God loves you. And he, it's John 3:16. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. You're a reconciler. You're trying to bring them to God, to make things in agreement, in alignment with God. God's not going to bend the sinner's way. He wants the sinner to bend God's way. Amen? You're a reconciler. You're going to tell them, look at verse 19. Hey, God loves you, and through Jesus Christ, he paid for your sins. What did he do? He died on the cross for the world's sins, and he's not imputing their trespasses to them. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He's not going to hold it against you. In fact, he made his son pay. Well, that's crazy. So as a child that grew up not believing my earthly father loved me, to know that there's a heavenly father, it took me a while, but once I understood there's a heavenly father that loved me, I need that. I want to know there's a father's love for me. And this father is not going to just be this mean, cruel guy up in the sky with gray hair and a long beard, like, you better get in order. He's not a legalistic God. He's a God of love. But because of love, he's going to point out sin, because sin is bad. Sin hurts you. And as a loving father, he wants you and I to get rid of it. But we can't, can we? We try, but he provided a way, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. So as you're sharing as a reconciler, you're telling people, God's not going to make you pay for your sin, not imputing their trespasses to them. Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ, God's son, because of his love for you, died on the cross for all your sins. No, you don't know whatever I've done. I don't care to know. We're going to be here all day if everybody's got to share their sins. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of our sins, your past, present, future sins. He died one time on the cross. Amen? And then rose from the grave. And has committed to us. Notice the pronoun. It's not just Paul saying, hey, I'm an apostle. I'm a reconciler. I have a ministry of reconciliation. What does he say here? That God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So as a new creation in Christ, if you are saved, if you're born again, then God has you as a reconciler. Your task as a reconciler, tell people God loves them. Tell people that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for their sins, and that God's not going to hold their sin against them, but they need to confess their sins and repent and turn to God. Amen? You're a reconciler. You're helping them to be in agreement with God. Just like when you reconcile your checking book, your checking statement with your records, you're making sure everything's in agreement. So remember that. Remember that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And you can read here. What are you to do? Look at verse 19. Let's continue on. In your Bibles, look at verse 20. Verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So guess what your second identity is? You're an ambassador. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, Christian, your second identity, if you're a new creation in Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved, your second identity is ambassador. Ambassador. Think of that again, ambassador. Now, something just happened on the world scene just the last 48 hours. When you're an ambassador, you are working in a faraway country. You're involved in country-to-country relations. You are speaking on behalf of the king and the country you represent. As an ambassador, say you're an ambassador to the United States, you get sent to another country. You are authorized to speak on the king's behalf. It could be the president if that country has a president. And you represent that country. Well, we are ambassadors, notice, for Christ. Not to speak on your own behalf, to speak on his. Amen? You represent the king. Who's the king? It's not Elvis. Who's the king? Jesus. You represent King Jesus, and you represent heaven. I asked Susan to do that song. Keep us in prayer. We're going to publish that. Actually, my son and Susan, that was like a 10 years ago or so. That was one of their homeschooling projects. I asked Susan to do that song. Well, it's a good reminder. This is not our home. Amen? So the ambassador serves in a faraway country. 48 hours ago on Friday, what was that, February 27th, 2026, Marco Rubio called all Americans to leave Iran. I pay attention to international news, especially when it comes to the Middle East. Why? Because of biblical prophecy. He called them, leave. And I'm like, that's interesting. They said it so adamantly. That was Friday. Saturday, yesterday, what happened? You woke up and you heard the news, right? Anybody hear the news? What happened? Okay, killed that guy. More than that. So United States and Israel did a joint operation. You can kind of see like a chessboard. United States put like 12 or so warships surrounding that area in the Middle East. Yesterday morning, we all woke up and heard the news. I woke up like really early. I'm like, what? Israel and United States had a joint effort to bomb Iran. When I was growing up as a Christian even, I thought, wow, in the end times world scene, you hear of countries like China, Iran, kind of getting together. like, whoa, this is interesting on the prophetic biblical end times calendar. But anyhow, what happened was then they took out the Ayatollah. Okay. Doubt if he knew Christ as Savior before he died. Okay, but he knows now who the real God is. Amen. He doesn't get eternal virgins. No. God sent his only son to be birthed through a virgin, Jesus Christ. And that's the way for salvation. So, Iran, I don't know if you guys know this. Iran is one of the countries in the world that did not have a U.S. ambassador. But those that were Americans, representatives of this country, this land in a faraway place, he called them home on Friday. That was like a, so listen to that in international news. They call the ambassadors to come home. If they call all the residents, like if you're a U.S. resident, calling you back home, that's kind of a sign what's going to happen. They're getting ready to have war, perhaps. And by the way, let me push pause on that thought as we continue forward. You know, when we read and study the entire Bible, there's an end times event that's called the rapture of the church. For those that are Christians, Jesus is going to come back for his bride, his wife. Amen? Anybody hear of that? Amen? When an ambassador is called home, or when God calls his ambassadors home, it's before what we call the Great Tribulation. Think about that, how that makes sense, right? So you and I, this is not our home, like we just sang. We are, Christians are ambassadors for Christ. If you're not Christian, if you're not saved, get saved. Admit that you're a sinner. Christ Jesus is your Savior who died on the cross for your sins, rose from the grave, as scriptures show. You need to confess your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. He can give you a new identity. You'll be a new creation. He wants to make you new, but it's only found through Jesus Christ. Amen? Not through anyone or anything else. And you wouldn't be joining a church. You'd be joining the family of God. Just like how the Heavenly Father showed me that he's now my father, even though I didn't have an earthly father that I believe loved me, I have a Heavenly Father that loves me. Amen? We all do. And this word for ambassador means to, quote, act as a representative. A Bible dictionary says that it's a figure of speech that means preacher. Wait a second. I'm not called to be a preacher. So us Christians in American, in America, in our language, we think, preacher, that's you, Drew. Or, hey, by the way, it's only by the grace of God he has me doing what I am doing now. I did not want to do this. But I love Jesus, and I want his will for my life. Therefore, I love doing this only because I love Jesus. And he's like, it was your, okay, uncle, okay, I'll do it. He doesn't hurt you, but he makes it so compelling. Like he told Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And that might be some of you. So an ambassador, that's the preacher. Wait a second. All of us then are called to preach, to herald, not H-A-R-O-L-D, like a man's name, herald, H-E-R-A-L-D. Like the little boy that you see on the soapbox, extra, extra, read all about it. Waving newspapers. You're heralding the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? All of you are called to be a preacher if you're born again, if you're saved. If not, get saved, and then you'll come to realize, wow, what you've done for me, you've done for the world. I how can I not share this good news? It's the best news that you can ever hear. So an ambassador in country-to-country relations, the ambassador represents the king, represents the kingdom. That's you. That's me. We represent the king. Who's the king again? Jesus. Oh, come on. Say it like you love him. Jesus. Oh, that's better. You represent King Jesus. You're ambassador. And you need to preach. You need to share this good news. You want to deliver the king's words to the people. Not your opinion. The Bible. God's words. Amen? This is what you and I do as God's ambassadors here on earth. Look at this in verse 20. So Paul says, now then we are ambassadors. Notice again the pronoun we. He's not saying I, because I'm an apostle, I'm an ambassador, but you're not, Corinthians. We. It's inclusive of Paul. It's inclusive of the Corinthian church. It's inclusive of you and me, isn't it? Not just me, you too. So you represent King Jesus. And again, this is not our home. So you're an ambassador. Look at verse 20. What's your task then as an ambassador? This word for pleading says, as though God were pleading through us. The word for pleading is a word that means to encourage or to exhort. There's a gift called exhortation. It's tied to this word. You're encouraging people. Well, I don't have that gift. Well, you're called to be a preacher, an ambassador. You're representing King Jesus. You represent heaven to people that need to know, because if they die without knowing salvation through Jesus, they're not going to get to heaven. And then heaven is not their home. Okay, so you need to plead with them, encourage them. And he says, implore. We implore you on Christ's behalf. This word implore means to beg. If you look at the original language in a Bible dictionary, this also speaks of how you come and beg God. You ever pray to God and you're begging God? Please God, really, really please. Help me, God. This is what you're doing as an ambassador. Not just, oh, well, I got to tell you some good news if you got time. No, you're pleading with them. You're imploring them. Please, please get saved. Please turn from your sin, because none of us know how long we're going to live. You need to implore. You need to beg. Your task is preach and strongly encourage people to repent of their sins and to turn to salvation through Jesus Christ. So you are also an ambassador. Remember, you're an ambassador for Christ. But tell people, look at verse 21. I love how this is broken down. You just got to turn to the Bible. Verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to become sin, to be sin for us. So tell people, like verse 21 reminds us, that, hey, Jesus is sinless. You and I are not. And what did Jesus do? Jesus took on your sins and he became your sin sacrifice. He died on the cross for you. And this is how you can be right in right standing with God. You could have righteousness with God, but it's only in him, only through Jesus Christ. You and I are never going to be right with God apart from Jesus Christ. Amen? Doesn't matter how much you do, how much you give, how much you go. Those are all works. And some of you guys know in Isaiah the prophet, he had a book, very big book in the Old Testament. All of our works are like what? Filthy rags. You got here, you got rah, 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 rah. Filthy rags. You know what the original Hebrew word mentions about these filthy rags? We'll keep it PG. What does the word for filthy rags mean? Yeah. Women's menstrual garments. Filthy rags. Not new ones out of the box. Old ones. And we're talking about how the Jews would see blood and that whole mess. It's like, ooh. All of your works to be in right standing with God, whether salvation or for your life, if you're doing it in your strength, it's like a filthy rag before God. A used, like a women's menstrual garments. That's actually the Hebrew word that he used. In other words, ooh, get that away from me. You want to throw that away. And so that would be an offense to God, but he puts it in a picturesque way where even for the Hebrews, the Israelites, the Jews, they'd be like, whoa, I got to stay away from blood. And definitely not that. All of the works that you and I do to try to be good with God or to be in right standing with God, they're like a used bloody rag. They're no good. So then what? So the only way you could be in right standing with God is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? He did the work, and he is holy. He's righteous. You and I are not. So the only way you and I could be in right standing with God is through Jesus Christ. So you can tell people this as an ambassador. Plead with them. Please get saved. Please turn from your sins. Jesus is sinless, and he took on your sins. The only way you could be saved from your sins is through Jesus Christ. You're begging them, you're imploring them, you're pleading with them. Just like how you would beg God, please, please turn from your sins. Let's continue on. So that's the second identity. We're going to read about the third here. Chapter 6 now. Let's go into chapter 6. Look at this in verses 1 and 2. Chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Look at this in verse 2. He's going to quote from Isaiah's book. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, look at this, how it's written. Now is the day of salvation. Or another passage might say, today is the day of salvation. So our third identity is a new creation. What would you guess from this passage? I color-coded it here. Worker. Yes, you're a reconciler. Yes, you're an ambassador. You're also a worker. Notice it says workers together with him. So you're not off doing your own thing and wanting God to bless your mess in Jesus' name. You're working together with him. What's he trying to do? He's trying to tell people, you got to get saved. You got to tell them good news. But the bad news is if you die in your sins, you're going to die and perish in a place called hell, waiting for judgment day. And then judgment day, according to the end of Revelation, those that don't have salvation through Jesus Christ, they're going to be put where? In the lake of fire to burn how long? Forever and ever. That's bad news, right? So the good news is you and I could be saved through Jesus Christ. You got to implore them as an ambassador. You got to work together with God, not doing your own thing. We don't preach on politics or whatever. We got to preach good news through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the gospel. So verse 1 describes, look at this in verse 1. Your task as a worker here. The word for workers means to be a fellow worker. It means to cooperate. It means to help work with. So God is inviting you as a Christian into the process. Think about this. Jesus could leave heaven and come physically here if he wanted to. He could preach. Ain't nobody going to be better than that. Amen? If Paul the Apostle were here, nobody's going to preach better than him, the guy that wrote this book. But for some reason, God didn't want to preach this through angels or through anybody else. He wants broken, feeble, hurt people like me, like you. That doesn't make sense, does it? But that's God's ways. He's going to use the things that the world calls nothing to cancel out the things that the world says is or are. That's you and me, the throwaways of the world. That's how I felt growing up. And then Father says, I could use this one. I'm going to take him. I'm going to clean him off. And what does he do? Send us right back. And now you and I, we're ambassadors. We point people to the King Jesus and to heaven. And we want to implore people. We want to work together with them to help people to know. So your job, you're to work at encouraging people to receive God's grace for salvation. When? Cuando? Now. Ahora, right? Now. Today. Now is the day of salvation. Think about this. This is the one of the verses that really would get me, to me. I might be working with someone, and I used to work at a place in Manhattan. I'd be talking to someone, and God might, you know, kind of stir the heart, you know, share. Let them know that I love them. Any of you guys, that ever happened to you? You're talking to someone, maybe a coworker, neighbor, family, friend. Share with them. And what would always kind of haunt me is like, today they can get saved. And you know what your flesh does? Like, oh, I'm going to work tomorrow. Maybe I'm going to drink more coffee, get more sleep. You start putting it off. I go through that. Does that happen with any of you? Today's the day of salvation. You never know. Let's continue on. Look at verse 3. We're going to see a fourth identity here. Look at this in verse 3. We'll read 3 to 10. It's on the display too. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God. So your next identity, your fourth identity, you're a minister. This word for minister means servant. It's the Greek word that is also used as deacon. That's why those that serve in our church, we give you an identity. What is that? Servant. Why? Because it's biblical. Jesus is Lord. We're what? We're his servants. You're not going to be Lord. There's only one Lord. That's him. We're ministers of God in much patience and tribulations and needs and distresses. What Paul's going to do here, he gives you this big list. What is it? The ups and downs of ministry. For those of you that serve God, this is going to make more sense for you. If you're not serving God, this is not going to make sense. You can be a Christian. This might make a little sense. When you're serving God, though, you're going to grow more. You're going to mature more. Just like Paul the Apostle, you're going to go through more so you can grow more. Amen? Anybody understand that? When you serve God, you're going to go through more so you can grow more. If you don't, then this might not make sense to you. But look at this in verse 5. In stripes. He's not talking about you go to the club and they would stripe your wrist or stamp you. I used to work at a club. Remember those times? You want to leave, you go back, oh, I promise I'll be right back. And then you go under the light, like, ah, get out of here. Or they do the thing like you go like, I'm not going to teach you how to sin. Anyhow, okay? You're not talking about those things. Some of you guys are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So, stripes. Sometimes he would get interrogated, and what would they do? They would whip his back. If you guys ever see that movie, The Passion of the Christ, anybody see that? Imagine that would happen with the Apostle Paul more than once. Ugh. Wow. In stripes. So that's what he's talking about here. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering. By the way, long-suffering is another word for patience. And once you hear it's patience, like, oh, that makes sense. Like, suffer for a long time, right? How long I gotta wait? It might be long suffering. By kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. All right, so your fourth identity as a new creation in Christ, you're a minister, you're a servant. Every single human being serves someone or something. How many of you know that? You come to Christ and your eyes are open to that. For me, it was worshiping things like money or flat out worshiping Satan in the world. I did not know that until God opened my eyes. When I got saved, he lives within you. Your spirit, which is born dead, when you're physically born, you're spiritually dead. And you become born again. You now have a spirit inside that's alive. And now you could examine things and go, oh my, I can't believe I was working for Satan. I was worshiping Satan and dragging people. I can't believe that. But God loved me. He loves you. And he sent his son Jesus to die for you. This word minister means servant. Again, it's the Greek word for deacon. So your task as a minister, serve God in the church like Paul did. That's what he's writing about here. It's inclusive of not just him at all. Only the apostles minister. No, we get that wrong in America. In America, we have this entertainment type of society, this consumerism society, where we think church life and those that serve are just the person, the pastor, the preacher. Everybody else is just come to take. It's just like a free restaurant. That's not biblical. So at Calvary Chapel and in this church, we want the body of Christ to minister to one another. Amen? Okay, so that might be someone here, especially as we just went through describing our vision, how God's calling some of you to serve him. Okay, your task is a minister. And Paul's writing here, you're going to go through ups and downs in life. It's normal. It's normal. Now, how many of you know this? You came to Christ, you started walking with Christ, you started serving Christ, and you get more challenges in life. Is that any of you guys? Do you notice that? That'll happen. Why? Because you're a minister of God. And faith is not real until it's tested. And when you're exercising your faith, he's going to put you on display where the world or the people that you're trying to get saved, you're praying for them. Maybe you work with them, or maybe you're in your family, or maybe you're sitting next to each other here. You want them to walk with God. You want them to get saved by God, but they're observing your life. And especially the closer that you are to them. You know the family doesn't listen. Anybody know that? Sorry, I say that with love and grace. Some of you are with family. For the most part, family doesn't listen. What do? They watch, don't they? So sometimes your family needs to not hear the gospel. They need to see it, right? Because everybody thinks in the world, everybody thinks that they have Jesus or know Jesus. But they want to see someone that isn't just preaching the Bible, but actually believes in it. And hey, I know that because I remember growing up where I saw a lot of fake Christians around me, growing up in California. And I didn't know what I know now, and I was seeking for truth. I just didn't know how to ask. But I was very blunt, very direct. I would go up to Christians that would try to preach to me, and I would just tell them bluntly in their face, like, you don't know the Bible. I would tell them things. Like, they would quote scripture to me, maybe have their Bible. Show me in your Bible. really desperately wanting to know the truth, but I just knew every Christian I would ask, guess what they couldn't do? They could tell me what they think they know, but they couldn't show me in their Bible. That's why coming to this side of things, I'm like, God, I want to make sure your people know your word. And like how Peter wrote, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to know his word, know his ways. So you are a minister of God. And ministers of God, like Paul, you're going to go through ups and downs, aren't you? You're going to go through that in life. The closer you are with God, the more ups and downs you're going to have. You're going to have to fight through the spiritual warfare. And this is exactly how you're going to grow and mature through the process. It's just God's growth plan for you. Please understand that, especially when you're serving God. So ministers of God end up going through things, and you're going to grow forward with God. You could read this later on and go through the details. We're not going to go through details here. Not for this. This next passage, to close out this chapter, we have a fifth, and this is it for today, last for today, identity, so to speak, as a new creation in Christ. Let's read this from verse 11. And Susan, can we get set up to close with worship? We'll have our time of communion at the end. We'll have a time to worship too. So if you're here and you want prayer, maybe for salvation, whatever it is, as we look at these things, if you never received Christ, today's the day of salvation. We could have that for you, amen? Or maybe you want to get right with God, or maybe you want his empowerment, like we're reading about here. Let's read about this in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? They stay separate, is his point. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, he says, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and, notice this, you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So fifth most, last but not least, our fifth identity that we are as a new creation in Christ, you're a child. You're a child of God. Now, how many of you know this? A lot of Christians don't know this. Before you become a born-again Christian, who is your father? Satan. Now, a lot of people, even including baby Christians, get offended by that. Wait a second, I was a child of Satan? That's according to the Bible. So before someone gets saved, their father, we're talking spiritually, not your earthly father, your father before you get saved is Satan. And then when you get salvation through Jesus Christ, like it says here, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. What happens? Then God will become your father. Look at this in verse 17 and 18. It says, come out from among them. So this makes sense for the person that's going to get saved, and this makes sense for the person that is saved. God's wanting you and I to be separate from the world and to maybe not fellowship, not be there in fellowship, tight and close with those that are non-believers or worldly people, including worldly Christians. That's like an oxymoronic term, worldly Christian. So look at this in verse 13. I color-coded it here, guys. Verse 13 and verse 18. Verse 13 says Christians are children. Verse 18, he says in verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Is repentance required in order for someone to be saved? Yes. You cannot say, I'm a sinner. Christ Jesus died for my sins. I'm going to pray to receive salvation and go back to the sin I was in. There's no repentance there. That person is not doing something outside externally. You could bet nothing changed internally. Make sense? You got to repent. You got to turn from that. So he says, come out. Look at verse 18. Then what's the next step? I will be a father to you. So God wants to be your father. before you're saved, Satan is your father. And he says, not only will he be a father, you shall be my sons and daughters. Listen, you can be a child of God. When you receive salvation, you are not joining a church. You're not joining a denomination. You are joining the family of God. The Heavenly Father would be your father. Okay. Until then, he wouldn't be our father. And he says, you shall be my sons and daughters. So before you and I got saved, the Bible declares we were children of Satan. Satan was our father. But through Christ, the Heavenly Father adopted you and I to be his child. That's brilliant. So your task as a child, he says here, he tells us what to do. Don't join yourself with non-Christians. Don't join yourself with worldly people, even worldly Christians. Stay separate. This is the word sanctified, holy. No, you're not holier than thou. The world will judge you, including worldly and Christians that don't know the Bible. Those judge you. How do I know that? Because I was one of those people that would sit there, you're judging me. Well, all the while I was trying to justify my sin. Anybody else like that? I want to drink and drug up. Why? Because I was a fake Christian. I wasn't a Christian. Listen, going to a church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like as we might say, if you sleep in a garage, does that make you a car? No. Okay. So, confessing that you're a sinner, that Jesus Christ is your Savior who died on the cross for your sins, and repenting, turning from that, then the Heavenly Father will be your Father. He wants to give you his family. He wants to adopt you into his family. And maybe that's someone here. And for those of you that are already his child, stay separate. That means being sanctified. He's now your father. He wants you and I to live holy. Amen? And you can sit there and go, like I used to pray, God, how am I going to stay holy? Well, he gives you the Holy Spirit to train you and I for holiness. This is why the Christian, once you get saved, God comes to live within you. And I was a DJ playing a lot of potty mouth music in nightclubs. And I would sit there, spinning on the two wheels of steel, as we used to call it. And I remember a lot of that club music was just trashy. And people come up and they always want to request the trashy songs. And after a while, I'm like, I can't play that. You know, I never read that in the Bible. No Christian will tell me that. I just knew, as God was trying to sanctify me, like, I can't do that. I can't sing along those songs no more. And like, ugh, I feel like turn down the volume. And they start like wanting to dance and shout out those nasty words. And just something was changing within me. And I didn't know what it was. Because there was no discipleship when I grew up. Nobody teaching me the Bible. It wasn't until I came to a Calvary Chapel in Orange County, California. Greg Laurie was on stage. That's when he had hair. And he did this altar call. He's calling people forward. And I found myself up in the front like, oh, I want this new life. When God comes to live within you, though, you become a new creation. You're no longer like how you were in the world. Amen? He changes you from within. That's why we could talk about, wow, he changes our words. I used to have a potty mouth. You know people like that. How many of you, that was you. You couldn't even say a sentence without a cuss word. Yeah, you knew Jesus. You used his name as a cuss word, right? You know God, but you would say the GD word, right? That was me. That's how many of us, if not all of us, were. And he comes to live within you, and he's going to do what? He wants to train you for holiness. He loves you. He wants to help you. And for someone here, maybe he wants to save you. Maybe it's you that he wants to be his child. And so now being all these things, reconciler, ambassador, worker, minister, child, God simply wants us to walk in his ways and to help one another. So Paul's urging Christians here that they must be separated from the world. Hey, this might mean that, you know, when you and I were Christians, and we can't be involved in sexual immorality anymore in the world. And yes, that was me. My wife, I had to apologize when I married her. My kids know this, but they didn't have to walk out that walk, fortunately. I've been to things like abortion. And don't worry, that wasn't with Susan. And I had to, when I met her, she never dated before. And so, and by the way, some of you guys are here, you guys remember, like 20-something years ago, you thought I was crazy. Just praying and waiting. And why? Because God was trying to do something different for me. He probably saved me for her. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like damaged goods. You know, you go to the store and like that shelf that's like, okay, open box for damaged goods. You get it for a discount. Like, that was me. But when I became a Christian, I couldn't live that way anymore. I couldn't take drugs, couldn't drink it up. I couldn't work as a DJ in a nightclub promoting a nightclub. I couldn't do that anymore. That was me. That was one of the identities I had. But now I have a new identity. It's in Christ. I'm a new creation. And that's what God does with you and I. He changes you and I from the inside out. Amen? And so if you want help for that, we can pray for you. Or maybe someone here wants prayer for salvation through Jesus Christ. If that's you, I'm going to ask that you simply come forward and we could pray for you. But let's all stand, please. And I'm going to close us out for this time. Before we go into communion, we can pray to close out this time. And if someone else wants prayer, you want prayer maybe for salvation. Like God says in the Word, today is a day of salvation. In the day of salvation, I have helped you, he says. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you never prayed to have salvation through Jesus Christ, maybe that's why God brought you in here today. We want to pray for you and love you. And you can have this new life, be this new creation. Or maybe you're already saved and you want God's help. You want prayer to walk in these ways with these identities that we mentioned here. So I'm going to pray to close out our time. If any of you want prayer, we'll have a time where we could worship. You guys could worship some more if you want. But if you want to be prayed for, I'm going to ask you simply to come forward and we can love you and pray for you and help you. So Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Oh, Lord, like you say here, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you that you gave us that call through some ambassador, someone representing heaven, representing the King, and that's you. We don't know how long we're going to be here. But Lord, while we're alive, this is the most important decision we can make, that we would decide to confess our sins and accept you as Savior who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave. He conquered sin because we can't. And we need to simply repent, turn from our sins and turn to following you. You want to give us a new life and don't go back to those old ways. So help us, Lord, and those of us that are already saved, God, help us to take on these identities that we could be that new creation, walking forward, growing forward with you. But we got to do it in your strength. By your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.